All right, everybody, welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money. And for all of our listeners that come each and every week, a special thank you from me and the Crypto 101 podcast team. It is our first time having a presented sponsor. We really like to thank Gemini for stepping up and being a part of our program for the next couple months. You're going to be hearing their ads, and they really stepped up, and we really appreciate it. So we want to make sure we give them a big shout out to start the show. And what a special show to have them be the presenting sponsor for, the first ever one, because we have a ton of the crypto Crypt Nation team with us. We have Bryce, we have Rohit, we have Brendan, we have myself, TiVo. Joe is somewhere. He might have dropped. We're going to get him back in
his
here.
Connection, I think, got disconnected.
His connection got a little, but that's all right. That's what happens when you do live events. You never know what's going to happen. But an exciting day. We've kind of prepped this all week. When Brendan and I were on earlier this week, we wanted to get a lot of people in the mix because it's a special time of year. The seasonality has approached us as Joe is getting back in. We love it. Joe's here. And Brendan, it is the Prepare for October live stream. We touched it on Monday to get people ready, but now that we have everybody here, let's recap why we're so excited for October, and then we can kick it around to the team before we jump into your TA.
Yeah, you know, October is this really exciting time of the year because historically we have this choppy period coming through the end of summer, beginning of fall, and we start seeing the markets experience a little bit of turbulence, even some downwards momentum as we push our way through August and September. The cool thing is that as we go into October, it's historically one of the best periods of crypto because what it often acts as is this tipping point and this turning point for crypto to go from a little bit more of a negative period to seasonally the best period, which is October, as many people have deemed it. And so, yeah, I mean, TiVo's got a great visual on the screen here. For those of you who are not tuning in on YouTube and you're coming from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, any of those sources, we want to make sure that you go over to our YouTube channel, which is the Crypto 101 Podcast on YouTube, and check us out over there, because we're going to have lots of different charts, different pieces of data, articles, a bunch of different stuff that we want you to take a look at, and that's all going to be on our YouTube channel. So as TiVo has on the screen here right now, we're coming out of August and September, 2 months that can be a little bit messy for Bitcoin. In fact, we saw a red 2025 in August, a red 2024, a red 2023, a red 2022. And the past like several years have just been red on August. Then you go back to September, and it's historically the worst performing month for Bitcoin out of the entire year. So we're going out of this 2 month stretch where it's, again, August, the past 4 years have been negative. And then you go to September, which is historically the worst performing month for Bitcoin, with an average return rate of just over 3%. And so October marks this tipping point because we go from a negative 3% average to a plus almost 22% average. And then November, which follows that, is another plus 46% average, which is historically the most bullish month. And then we're all familiar with the Santa Claus rally that tends to happen around the time of December. So we're doing this live stream because we're excited about this kind of shift in the markets. And we have some interesting data points to show that the last 10 days of September are historically the worst 10-day stretch out of the entire year for the market. And as we're kind of going through this live, and I'm sure a lot of you are kind of feeling it here with some of the downwards pressure, we're experiencing that firsthand. So this whole live stream, this whole segment of the Crypto Rundown is, yes, we want to talk about everything that's going on, but we want to make sure that everyone's kind of sharing our excitement for this hopeful shift from this kind of dreary period of August, September into what could be a very, very fire October.
So yeah, and then just to kick it around the room, Bryce, going over to you first. I know this is my third October on the team, and it's something that we've talked about basically every year, and we've been really excited about. And then as you can see, the last 3 years have been green and much more before that. Kind of going into the seasonality, you know, big picture to zoom out. We talk about that on the show all the time of, you know, if you're looking out, if you zoom out for how we've done this year, I think all of us would have taken Bitcoin in a small little correction here in September while we're still above $100,000. So it's been a successful year all around. But is there anything that you're kind of gearing up and looking forward to in as we head into Q4 here?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited about kind of Bitcoin finding its support and kind of regaining confidence in the Bitcoin market from like an institutional standpoint, because right now it seems like this correction has scared a couple people out of the Bitcoin market specifically, the altcoins as well. And so I'm really interested to see, you know, Bitcoin get that sort of institutional support. And I think it's coming because, by the way, just this morning, Vanguard announced that they are going to be whitelisting and greenlighting the Bitcoin ETFs. And so Vanguard's the second largest asset manager in the world, and they've historically been really negative and bearish. They said the client demand is overwhelming and we just have to respond. I mean, to me, that's like such a bullish event that's, it's not happened yet, right? Like those flows haven't started coming into the Bitcoin market. And again, once those happen, they're going to be directed into Bitcoin. They're not going to go into Ethereum. They're not going to go into Solana or anything like that. And so the market needs to kind of get a little bit more confidence and footing in Bitcoin. It needs to regain that all-time high. And once we pass back above 125K with some real fervor and some oomph, then that's when I think the altcoins are just going to go absolutely haywire. And there's going to be, call it a 4 week to 8 week period, where it's just going to be throw a dart at a dartboard and cover your eyes and make some free money. We're not there yet, but I'm really excited, yeah, about just sort of the long term technicals and Vanguard coming into the market to start TWAPing in with their passive flows.
I think that Brent and I can both agree. Vanguard has taken some shots on the crypto rundown over the last year,
without
plus.
A doubt.
So time to come home, Vanguard. We're looking forward to it. Rohit, we love having you on. We know you're not a regular contributor to the show, but give the folks a little bit of your thought heading into kind of the research that you do and the seasonality of it. What are you excited for? What are you looking to heading into Q4?
Yeah, Q4 is usually the strongest period of that last year in the four-year cycle when things tend to go kind of nuts, at least historically. So it'll be interesting to see if that occurs again. Usually Bitcoin will peak in November, December, and altcoins will peak about a month after that. Typically it's interesting because Bitcoin rallies first, then Ethereum, then the large caps, and then finally the small and mid caps. And my sense is we're maybe a third of the way there with Ethereum. Like it's rallied some, but it hasn't even hit new highs. So there should still be a lot, much more to go, in my view.
Joe, any thoughts?
No, everyone said it. I think gold's a great indicator. Gold's nearing its all-time highs in the last 5 days, and experts say that Bitcoin lags a little bit, about 3 months or so from gold. Cheap money is not great for the US dollar, but it is good for Bitcoin. So like Bryce said, we're waiting for those inflows. And I'm excited to hear Vanguard, the dinosaur, is coming in because I got a lot of liquidity over there. And just like Bryce said, I can't wait because then I instantly push smash some buttons on there to buy some Bitcoin ETFs.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what, and Joe, I know me and you are big Robinhood bulls, but that's what drove me to Robinhood. I was always a Vanguard guy. It was my first account to learn about the low fees and the ETFs and all that. And then I was just really bummed when the whole Bitcoin process came out and all these people were, you know, given the product, and Vanguard was just kind of being the old dinosaur, like you said.
All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at afani.com/crypto101. That's afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number. So make sure it's protected with Afani.
All right, Crypt Nation fam, are you interested in effortlessly growing your Bitcoin portfolio? Because I know I am. The Bitcoin credit card by Gemini earns you Bitcoin back on every purchase. Use it like any credit card. You buy lunch, you get gas, any of your weekly grocery expenses, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight into your account. All that with no annual fee. And right now, you can grab $200 of Bitcoin. That's right, a $200 Bitcoin welcome bonus with the Gemini credit card. It is the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stack. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. See the link in the description for more information regarding rates and fees. If you have been considering futures trading, now might be the time to take a closer look. The futures market has seen increased activity recently, and Plus 500 Futures offers a straightforward entry point. The platform provides access to major instruments, including the S&P 500, NASDAQ, Bitcoin, natural gas, and other key markets across equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and crypto. Their interface is designed for accessibility. You can monitor and execute trades from your phone with a $100 minimum deposit. Once your account is open, potential trades can be executed in two clicks. For those who prefer to practice first, Plus 500 offers an unlimited demo account with full charting and analytical tools. No risk involved while you familiarize yourself with the platform. The company has been operating in the trading space for over 20 years. Download the Plus 500 app today. Trading in futures involves a risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify. Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus. But Brendan, we had a little bit of a rough week. You know, where the volatility is opportunity, and zoom out, and we are still on the winning side of the field here. So, Brendan, you want to pull up the charts and show us what happened this week?
Yeah, let's take a look at the charts. I think that's what everyone's probably the most interested in and maybe worried about here, because what we essentially have is a pretty sharp sell-off across the board. And I think it caught a lot of people by surprise just with the levels of volatility that we saw and witnessed. Let me throw this up for everyone so that you all can see what is going on with Bitcoin here. And this is what that looks like. You know, we are pushing up, and it looked to be like a full-on reversal off of these lows over here. We were bouncing off this anchored VWAP. We talked about this a lot on the channel, gotten kind of out of this short-term downtrend above both the 20 and 50-day moving average. And we are making a break here and kind of going back towards the highs of around we reached as high as 118K, and then we started to sell off. And it's been pretty aggressive since then. And as soon as kind of the 20 and 50-day moving averages broke here, you can just see that there was just massive levels down over on Bitcoin. And so from top to bottom, it was about an 8% move, which was a little bit more on the aggressive side. But I think altcoins are where we really saw the most volatility. Bitcoin really not falling any kind of significant lower low as of yet. And it's finding some support around this area. But again, altcoins are what was really hit over here. So if you look around kind of the same period and what's happened in, let's just say, the last week or so, you had Ethereum falling 18%. So 10 more percent than Bitcoin. You had Solana over here falling about 24, almost 25%. You could look at XRP and seeing some of the volatility here, about 15% to the downside. And then again, the farther we go into the more mainstream altcoins, the more volatility to the downside we're going to see. A coin that we like a lot over here, you know, we've talked about it, Aerodrome, saw about 30% to the downside over the last week. And that's kind of the normal here, is that we saw about a 20 to 30% pullback for a lot of the altcoins that we like, and even ones that are fundamentally strong. And so that kind of brings us up to date on what we've been witnessing is just a decent size liquidation event. And we talked about this in our earlier rundown, TiVo, where where we had one of the largest liquidation events that we've seen in a really, really long time, where just that 24-hour stretch from like Sunday to Monday was over $1.5 billion in liquidations. And since then, there's obviously been a whole lot more than that as we've continued to kind of push to the downside. And so what I really think happened here was, one, these liquidation events happen. It's nothing new. We've seen really big ones in the past. At some point in the future, we're going to see more of them. I think what happened to the bulk of people here is that as we were starting to break this little downward structure, kind of bounce off some significant levels, as we zoom out, we also know that this is the prior area of all-time highs. And people saw us like bouncing off of this breaking structure to the upside and making a push back for the all-time highs. And I think people got a little bit overconfident. We saw people coming in with kind of just continually higher leverage positions and just more leverage in general. And so people were looking at this saying, you know, I want to get levered up as we potentially go in the price discovery mode. And people were making these higher leveraged, larger position sized bets that we were going to do that. And it seems like people were just a little bit too comfortable with this. And so once we started to pull back a little bit and those very high leverage positions started to get liquidated, it almost started a bit of a snowball effect. And we started to see more and more of these liquidations. And now it's kind of just snowballed into what we're seeing now. The good thing that I'll say, and we talked about this a little bit on Monday, is that oftentimes that kind of acts as like a reset button. You know, people kind of come back down to earth. Fortunately, some people get burned in those positions, and that's really all that it takes is, you know, one of these 10% moves on Bitcoin, which could be a 20 to 30% move on altcoins. And sometimes that's all that it really takes for people to kind of reset, come back down to reality, and for price to come to an area where buyers are more comfortable going in with orders again. And, you know, I think that we are slowly approaching this. So kind of just looking at Bitcoin from a high level, the big picture here on Bitcoin really isn't harmed that much. I know it feels like it, right? We've had this big move down over the last week, especially in alts, but the big picture is still very much intact. In fact, I think it's really hard to look at this and go, oh my goodness, this is devastating. It's all over. You know, the sky is falling. And I just don't think you can say that with a chart like this one. And in reality, like we've seen far worse moves than this, where we see 30% plus drawdowns below the 200-day moving average, and we're not even at a point like that yet, and we've recovered from these. So, you know, what I would be looking at here is as Bitcoin kind of comes down, as we can see, into its prior highs, into the 200-day moving average, into kind of these levels in between 100K and 110K, I would expect it to find support down in here. I think that this is going to be a really big and significant level for the buyers to come in and show that there's still very much here. I think the benefit of this is that there's really no negative news that caused this catalyst beyond just the liquidation events. I know people have been trying to say, oh, it was the job numbers. Oh, it's this, you know, maybe it's seasonality.
It could have been the SEC and FINRA coming after 200 DATs for insider trading. That I think that could have something to do with it.
I think you're right about that one. That could have something to do with it. And, you know, maybe it's just a couple of these things. But again, when we get an 8 to 9% pullback on Bitcoin, I mean, we've done that more times than I can count in a 24-hour window, let alone a week window. So, again, you know, big picture here that I want to paint as we kind of move in and rope everyone else back into the conversation. My big takeaway is that there is, I would say, very little to none in terms of long-term damage and break of structure. Just short-term, I think people are a little bit more frustrated that we had the breakout and didn't hit the new all-time highs. And as we're just flagging back down over here, again, I would really be looking for around the low end of the 100K area to around 110K, kind of as this potential box of opportunity.
Yeah, and if we do, you know, crack down below 100, I think it'd be a pretty good buying opportunity. I don't think it would last very long. You know, I could foresee the worst it could get, in my opinion, would be a replay, a little bit of March and April. If you want to kind of take a look back at March and April, you know, we cracked below the 200-day moving average and kind of traded below it for about, what was that, 6 or 7 weeks. So I could see this little box kind of playing out because a lot, and this is what happened. I mean, if you actually go back even further to the years prior, the market loves to flirt under the 200-day average to really scare people out. I mean, you could go back again in August of 2 years ago, right, exactly right there. I remember doing this whole thing. And so in a bull market, you know, breaking down below the 200-day average just for, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, I mean, it's kind of typical of a really strong bull market flush out. So I could kind of foresee that happening, just testing the market's patience, testing, you know, giving Vanguard a better entry. So this is kind of becoming more and more my base case. Like the longer that we, you know, keep flagging down, I just think, you know, we could have a little flirtation under the 200-day average for a handful of weeks, scare the market out. But that'll be a good bottoming sign. So just, you know, want to prepare everybody for some continued, you know, downside in the markets, but good buying opportunities.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, when we look at this, you know, we are kind of bound to get a little bit of a drop in Bitcoin dominance. I know, Bryce, you know, we've looked at this. Bitcoin dominance has taken a hit, and a lot of these large caps have run. There's just going to be fluctuations where, hey, Bitcoin dominance especially, it kind of head down for a while, and then it bounced. And we see these, and then it bounces, and then it heads down, and it bounces. And we're going to see periods of this where, again, the market just needs to retrace. I know if you look at a lot of these large caps, I know people, are frustrated about the falls. But again, you kind of look at this time horizon, and you look at the move that Ethereum has done since April, you know, 260% to the upside. Solana over here since April, another 170%+. You could look at it on BNB since April, and you could say, hey, this thing did another 114% at all-time highs. Let's look at another large cap right over here. Tron, going on a 75% move, again, essentially back to the highs. And so you had all these large caps just making these breaks to the highs, and now we're getting a little bit of a retracement, so nothing too crazy.
Yeah, I think we'd be remiss, Brendan, if we don't pull up Solana. I think this is the first time we've actually had Bryce on with us together, and we got to show him the Bryce bottom that we referenced all the time. We have the Solana.
Yeah, we had the Solana ad. So I
guess the Bryce bottom's on Ethereum. Sorry, we have your tweet pinned. Oh, my bad. We have the Solana ad was when they, I don't know if you guys remember, Solana put out an ad that got flamed online. And so for rundown, we put a ticker there. And then we have
this chart.
The epic Bryce bottom call on Ethereum, where I believe the quote was, "The revenge arc for Ethereum will be glorious."
Absolutely. It was just a matter of time. It was so obvious, but I'm glad you guys memorialized that moment. The bagel call, though, that was another legendary call.
the crypto bagel might act as support. It's like it gave you the fuel to get up to you know, the 5K there, but hopefully it holds the support there. That was a fun one. But yeah, I just thought since we had John, we had to revisit the epic Bryce bottom.
Certainly, man. Well, you know, there's a lot going on, and I think we can reference a screenshot that we were looking at just a little bit before this, TiVo, when it comes to just this area of the market. And I referenced this earlier, but, you know, again, there's a lot of articles. There's one from Business Insider. There's one from CNBC. There's ones from like different asset managers, but a lot of different credible places have referenced just this idea that the last 10 days of September is historically the worst 10-day period of the entire year. And so we're coming into this, and you got to be paying attention to that. Again, it's I don't know why it happens, right? I really can't say. Are people just going on vacation? Are they taking?
I think it might have something to do potentially with like mutual funds fiscal years. Mm-hmm. That some large funds book their end of year in September 30th, and like their new fiscal year starts October 1st, and so you know, tax loss selling and, you know, tax loss harvesting, and then, you know, general profit taking and rebalance, you know, quarterly rebalancing. I think all of that does kind of come to bear on this coincidence of, you know, September always being so crappy. And it's also not a coincidence that we have tax day, September 15th for corporations and individuals on October 15th. And so, again, that's also potentially people selling assets in order to cover those tax liabilities.
I saw a wild, fun little stat. I've never heard of this one before. So if you're interested, you can go look it up. I pulled the tweet. It was going around kind of the Tom Lee data center. A bunch of other FinTwit people were sharing it. So it is not mine. It is something that I just saw. I thought it'd be funny to bring up if you're interested in researching it. It's sell Rosh Hashanah and buy Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
And so those are two Jewish holidays that fall in this time of year all the time. So there's this almanac trader who pulled the data, and it's a big data set to look. So definitely go look it up if you're interested in really parsing through it. But it's the time period from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur is like, you know, the average and the median is kind of in the red there. And then Yom Kippur to Passover has like 6-7% gains on average. So there's a bunch of different seasonality things you can pull and go and research. And again, that's definitely no guarantee of past and future performance by any means. But I thought that was one that came out of the woodwork the last like 48 hours. I was like, oh, that kind of was a cool little saying.
No, that's an interesting one. Super interesting. And I'm curious, like, yeah, why that phenomenon exists. But again, I just think it kind of comes back to this tax selling around this time.
Yeah, that could be a fun little rabbit hole if you're a data person that wants to dive down that one. But I think, if again, we're kind of talking specifics, and there's a lot of price action that always, you know, whether it goes up or down or sideways, we're always kind of diving into the data. And if you enjoyed that segment with Brendan and kind of the team, that's what we do, right? That's what we do at Crypt Nation. Obviously, we're here for the podcast for you, but if you want more interaction with the team, stuff and interaction with them every single day, I did put a link in the description. So it's the first link there. It's a $1 trial. And basically what we just did with Brendan Tiang and kicking around the news and the team, that's stuff we do every single week with the broader team. So if you're interested in getting kind of more access to Bryce and the team, check out that $1 trial. You won't regret it. But if we zoom out, and that's something that we say on this show all the time, is zooming out. Okay, the price action in the weeds, the, you know, the 20-day, the 50-day, 100-day moving averages, where are we going next? But the news flow, guys, the news flow just continues. What Brendan was saying is what we talk about all the time is zooming out. BlackRock's building yet another product. We've seen, you know, the record-breaking profits of their ETF. And so they're trying to build something here called the Bitcoin Premium Income ETF. Almost sounds like they're taking a page out of Saylor's book. And then our friend of the program, James Seyfarth, is still bullish on over 100 new crypto ETFs in the next 6 to 12 months.
So crazy.
We've been covering this story a lot, and I'd love to get your take on it, Bryce. We've kind of been seeing the SEC is definitely pro crypto. That's obvious. He's all over the news waves. But it kind of seems to be this holding pattern, which I guess you can kind of confirm now. There hasn't been like leaks of, oh, the Sol ETF's going to get it, or the Doge ETF's going to cross the finish line first. They kind of seem to be holding everything. And then once they get this framework structured, it's going to be a floodgate of opening. And we haven't talked about that with you. So I wanted to get your thoughts on kind of how this is lining up in your mind.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the liquid staking ETFs, like the Jito Sol ETF is probably going to come. I think the Solana ETF, they have like a deadline of sometime in October, I believe, for October 12th or October 26th. There's some, you know, kind of extended final deadline for the Solana ETF. So I think we're going to get a Solana ETF. And these generic listing standards that they've talked about are basically like, you know, these generic listing standards that people will be able to fast track all of these ETFs, so they don't have to go through like all of the, you know, legal legwork and, you know, the exorbitant costs and time that it takes to get these ETFs filed. There's now just going to kind of be like a form where, you know, you kind of check the boxes and you get fast tracked. So I think that, you know, none of them will be nearly as successful as the Bitcoin and Ethereum ETF. I'll stake my name on that. I don't think even the Solana ETF or the millions that kind of come after that are going to even do a fraction really of what Bitcoin and Ethereum have done. I mean, they'll do a fraction, but that's probably it. So I still think it's going to be good. Like, I still, like, you know, a huge believer in like giving these institutions the ability to like access this asset class through the ETFs, because they're not going to go, you know, if you're managing billions of dollars of client money, you've got these really strict rules of where you can trade, what you can hold. I mean, there's so much that goes into it. And so to even think, you know, a $1 billion firm is going to go out and, you know, get a ledger or download MetaMask or, you know, even use Coinbase as a custodian. They'd be like, yeah, get out of here with that. So the fact that we're going to be having, you know, these institutions that are going to be able to custody with the likes of BlackRock or State Street and like all of these wildly, you know, $1 trillion firms that are touching these ETFs and are authorized participants, it's going to be a really, really big liquidity shift, I think, in crypto. It's going to add a lot more liquidity. So I'm super optimistic. Just I want to make sure people's expectations are tampered. They're like, oh man, Bitcoin was the most successful ETF ever. So of course, like the Solana one must be the most successful next up. And it's just like, I just think like there's just going to be a huge drop off in like actual demand relative to the Bitcoin and Ethereum ones, because that the institutions move at such a glacial pace. Like they're just now getting comfortable with Bitcoin. Like some are just barely getting comfortable with Ethereum. I mean, Tom Lee, the quintessential, like, you know, buy side equity bull analyst who's always like 5 or 10 years early. I mean, he's going out and he's really starting to talk about Ethereum, you know, really, really hard. But there's still so many skeptics. And so like Bitcoin's barely cracked in. Ethereum is barely cracking in. So everything else, it's like, you know, it's just going to be early, I think. I know I saw another thing. SoftBank and ARK are buying a bunch of private equity in Tether. Tether just had like one of the most expensive valuations in a private company in history. I think almost $500 billion for this company. And like their chairman, who owns like a majority of this, like if this fundraising goes through, he would be like the fourth or fifth richest person in the world based on his ownership of Tether. But I just think it's interesting because SoftBank and ARK tend to like buy the top. Like this isn't like a super bullish sign. Like they've got, you know, all of like they've has just historically like done that where they've like done these huge fundraising deals and financing deals for companies like at the top of the market, whether it's like an AI or, you know, blockchain and stuff like that. So I don't know. This isn't like the most bullish thing for me to look at. Like a $500 billion company. It's just like that's also a liquidity suck. It's like that could be, you know, the $20 billion that ARK and SoftBank could be putting into altcoins or TWAPing into Ethereum or anything. Like, no, they're buying up stablecoin equity. So like that's not a huge liquidity injection to crypto.
Yeah,
I don't know. So I'm a mixed bag here.
These companies, from what, you know, you hear from Tether and all these, you know, crypto focused companies, they just have so many low employee count. Like their revenue point per employee for all these new age tech companies in crypto. And I think Netflix is up there as well. I know not crypto related, but just the amount of revenue that could be generated with no employees is insane. And then obviously kind of the AI trade is perpetuating that kind of thought for how companies are forward. But to stay on the Tether train here, Joe, I'm gonna come to you. I know we're jumping around our sheet a little bit, but all is good. I'm going to bring up your page here that you sent, because sticking on to Tether, it looks like they're kind of doing some tokenization stuff as well. So what are you seeing over there?
Yeah, one of the Tether original co-founders, Reeve Collins, just launched 10 days ago a new stablecoin called Stable, STBL. And this fell on our radars early, sort of like when Aster came out not too long ago over in the Binance ecosystem. Things have slowly been migrating over there.
I love how that's not a picture of Reeve.
I know, right? That's not him at all. But yeah, the thing about Stable is that for the first time ever, supposedly, minters of the stable coin, not issuers, will retain the value of the reserves. So they're going to have a stripping mechanism, meaning that you hold the stable coin, which is called USST, and then you mint an NFT, which is the yield bearing side of the stable coin. So you get to mint the yield, yet keep the regulation according to the Genius Act, you know, make sure that you're compliant in those aspects. So they're going to go multi-chain. The early days, 10 days old, but they have not been rocked by the recent moves in the market. Alongside Aster, they know no chill. They're just simply grinding up. And I was actually going to ask Rohit a little bit more about this also. You know, a lot of people compare it to Athena and or Ondo, and they have a FTV about half that size. So early days, but it's very interesting. A lot of liquidity is moving in there. Franklin Templeton, with $1.6 trillion underneath management, they're minting $100 million of this in the next, in this upcoming quarter, and they have a lot of U.S. platforms coming on board also. So I wouldn't bet against Reeve Collins, co-founder of Tether, and this is a call we made to our private community, and that was 2 times lower when we made that call. So you might not want to get in now, but just give you an inkling of kind of where our radars are and what's popping over in the Binance space.
Love it. Also Plasma, right? XPL just launched yesterday or today. And it's also a similar thing to Stable. I think it's a different co-founder of Tether launching launching Plasma. I believe. I know they've got like it's in kind of like the Tether chain or whatever. So it's interesting to see like this genius act, you know, once that legislation got passed and, you know, that's law, all these new companies spin up stable coins. I saw it literally today as well, Cloudflare launching their own stable coin called NetDollar. And so you don't just now have these financial institutions, you have these online infrastructure providers. Like anytime you use the internet, whether you know it or not, you're like using Cloudflare. Like all of these different companies employ or contract with Cloudflare in order to have online security. And anytime you click a CAPTCHA or any of those little things to make sure that your website doesn't just get completely DDoSed or denial of service and all that kind of stuff. So Cloudflare is now getting into the stablecoin game, which like took a lot of people by surprise. Certainly took me by surprise. But it's going to be all of these, you know, companies that have, you know, lots of online infrastructure, lots of expertise in that and in protocol building and development that are going to capitalize on this. And so, you know, they did, you know, Facebook tried to do it before there was legislation. They did Libra and then it got shut down, but now Cloudflare's like, all right, well, we're going to do it. And so, yeah, you're just going to see a lot more of that, I think.
Yeah. And then Rohit, just to get you in, I know Joe mentioned you, what's your thoughts on kind of the stablecoin market? And then I'm going to transition us after that into the Fluid and Uniswap story that you put in the chat.
Yeah, just I think Citigroup said that by the end of 2030, they think there'll be $30 trillion worth of stablecoins. So like, wow. It's one of the...
30?
I think 30, yeah.
Wow.
So there's, it's one of the few areas where there's clear demand and product market fit outside of Bitcoin as well. So I think there is a lot of opportunity there. And I know there are multiple L1s, Plasma. There's another one that Paolo, the CEO of Tether, is investing into. It's funny that he's invested into multiple of these stablecoin L1s, but so it shows, in my mind, there's a lot of room for many different players to grow, and it's not necessarily...
I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what do you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com to start now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Awesome stuff. And then again, I just wanted to get you more involved, Rohit. I know you put this in the chat, the team chat last night, which was some news around DEXs. Could you just explain what went down here?
Just so this has happened 2 or 3 days now where, not continuously, but there have been a few days where Fluid has flipped Uniswap on DEX volume on Ethereum. And I think they have outright over 50% of the USDC USD Tether pair volume, and that's pretty stable at a high level. They introduced DEX Lite recently, which I think reduces gas costs pretty substantially for traders. So that's helped a lot. And then when V2 of their DEX comes out, people will be able to build on top of it using Hook. So the idea is they'll be able to also potentially dominate on volatile pairs too, if people can more flexibly hedge their exposures as they LP and loop positions. So yeah, it's been very interesting to see them just take market share very clearly in the stablecoin DEX space, but increasingly overall as well.
Yeah, I'm super bullish on Fluid. Also, just like their chart looks pretty good. They just recently had their largest volume day of trading like ever. So I'm super optimistic. In fact, Rohit, I think when we first hired you, this was like one of the first ones that you started talking about, which always stuck with me, this one. And I think Metaplex was one of the other ones. So this has always had a special place in my heart. And I think the future is super bright.
Definitely. Because they also moved over to Solana recently. They partnered with Jupiter to offer JupLend. So it's like their same product except offered on Solana. And I think the TVL is like $1.5 to $2 billion, despite being launched like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Well, a great transition from talking about volume is going into prediction markets. So we're staying on the Rohit train here, because this was Rohit prepared a little bit of some data behind some of these companies that are doing the prediction markets. And it's something that the show is familiar with. Brendan and I have talked about it, tried to dive in specifically around the Fed. I know me and Brian did it as well. But Rohit, you brought us some data, so I can pull up your sheet here. And yeah, just break it down, and then we can have a discussion, because I know the prediction markets are something that our whole entire team is kind of focused on as this continues to grow, and the volume is outstanding from whatever topics it are, from the Fed to politics to now even sports. It's starting to get a big sports handle as well that I know has DraftKings and FanDuel probably shaking. So what are you seeing?
Yeah, so like I know prediction markets especially were in the news in the run-up to the election, because that was just such a point of common focus. And also because oftentimes the prediction markets were running contrary to the polling. And the question at the time was which was going to be more accurate. And it turned out Polymarket was more accurate. They not only very early predicted that Trump would win, they got all of the swing states correct as well. Whereas the polling was more mixed on that. It's interesting what goes into that, because there was apparently like a large French investor who like conducted his own polling based on like neighborhood effects. Like he was like, there was like some very sophisticated people betting millions of dollars based on their own research, and that came through in the prices in a way that was more accurate than like the typical pollsters. But
I think the thing about these betting markets that's so interesting is that they are peer-to-peer. Instead of you betting against the house, you're betting against other people. And that tends to remove a lot of the inequality, and it removes a lot of the bias and a lot of the problems that could come up. And maybe, I don't know, I just think anything that could maybe like pollute the data in a negative way kind of gets removed, because when it's all just person to person, peer to peer, and you remove the house and you remove bias and you remove a lot of these outside factors, then it's just people betting against each other on what they really do think is going to win. And that changes things. And I think it also, because people are now putting their money where their mouth is, and they know that they don't have to bet against the house. So I think that that's a big contributor to like what gives this the most, I don't know, I would say like valuable data, the most accurate data, is because of the way that it's done. And the cool thing is that like you have markets like Polymarket, which are entirely built on Ethereum. And so we have this kind of proof of concept of like, hey, we can have these new, you know, multi-billion dollar companies that can be built and run on blockchain. And And they can work. And I think Polymark is like just a great proof of concept there. And you're right. I think what we're starting to see is that a lot of these other players like FanDuel and DraftKings and a lot of them are starting to sweat a little bit. And they're like, holy smokes, like this looks like it's the next era. And everyone's kind of jumping and grabbing and trying to get their hands on more market share of the betting markets, because now we're even seeing brokerages do it. I know that like Robinhood has started doing this. Webull has started doing this. Other brokerages are looking into it. Now you're having like the DraftKings and the FanDuels, and like it's just becoming a really, really big space. And it all started with a project that was built on Ethereum first, which is Polymarket.
For sure. Yeah, Polymarket was the OG, basically. Yeah. And they, like you said, they are built on Ethereum through Polygon. Definitely. And Tiva, I don't know if you had that chart up. It's interesting that the volumes, the transactions, they're all kind of tailing upwards again more recently, like over the past couple of months. Because they came down after the election, kind of went sideways for a bit, but they've picked up both in terms of, I didn't include it, but like the number of active wallets has gone up, number of transactions, the volume, everything has started to move up into the right. So,
yeah. Anything specific from these charts that you want to look at?
Well, the other one was if you go down, Kalshi has always been the more regulated version. Like they always worked with the CFTC directly to kind of operate within that regulatory umbrella and hopefully attract U.S. capital and maybe even institutional capital. Because the thing with Polymarket is they do prevent Americans from using them. Like even with a VPN, you can. They use some kind of technology where they really, I guess they didn't want to run afoul of the regulators, so they really do prevent people in certain jurisdictions from interacting with the platform. But Kalshi has always been regulated. And more recently, it's grabbed more than half the market share. So you can see that from the overall volume. And if you scroll down a little bit, you can just see the percentages. Like it's popped up over 50%. I don't know as much about Limitless. And I know Myriad is something that Joe and Brian have been active with, like farming an airdrop there, I think. So he could probably tell you more there. This Messari put out like a really good prediction market landscape. So you can just see the extreme diversity that is there. Everything from like the play where you're betting on like how many plays a given musical track will have, and trying to use that potentially to feed songs to people rather than like some obscure algorithm at Spotify, to Futarchy, where like DAOs are making decisions based on internal betting markets where you have to actually put your capital up when you want to say what you think should happen, what decision should be made. But it goes on and on. There are Telegram bots that plug in. I don't know if this shows it, but there are like AI agents now that are providing liquidity to these prediction markets, or that are managing capital based on information they're pulling from like thousands of sources to like very quickly, as soon as that information comes out, and then close out the bet and just like make that spread, that small amount over and over in different cases. There's just like a ton going on. Like with sports betting, Tebow, you probably know more about this than me, but like, yeah, you can see, I've heard of like Billy Bets, and I forget, there are a few others out there that are on the more well-known end where, again, these are like AI programs that are through their training and analysis and real-time information are trying to essentially make money for their protocols through sports betting.
Yeah, I'm sure there's tons of people trying to find different alpha all over the place. I just know if you want to make it simple, if you're a sports bettor out there, like, you know, you have the options of DraftKings and FanDuel, and everybody kind of has different lines. I'd say 80, 90% of the time they're the same, but like every once in a while you see, you know, depending on how much handle there is, you might have a different odd on FanDuel versus DraftKings, and you want to get the best odds you can. And the same can be true in the prediction markets. So
if you're a big time sports bettor and always looking kind of for that edge, this is definitely something you want to put into your repertoire of trying to figure out sports bets. But also overall, as you explained at the beginning, it's just kind of become a tool for getting the news and just kind of seeing, you know, kind of seeing where maybe the puck is going in the world stage of these larger type events like rate cuts or, you know, like we learned from the election. And I think it's just such an amazing journey to see this go. And Polymarket did, I believe, get the green light from the CFTC to come to the U.S. eventually.
Yeah.
Soon, because Donald Trump Jr. just joined the board of Polymarket. Yeah. So if you don't think that's coming to the U.S., you know, you're not thinking with your head, right?
It was fun. I was going to say real quick, it was funny because I was, you guys saw the South Park episode. You can't just talk about Polymarket and not mention this thing right here, what happened, but it's such a great example of also, Tebow, like you said, sometimes just like being able to pick up free money off the floor. There was a Polymarket on this South Park episode that the over under of, you know, are they going to say the word prediction more than four times? And if they do say it more than four times, you know, you could on Polymarket bet, are they going to say it? Are they not going to say it? And so this guy was like live streaming and he was like looking at these odds and he was counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh my God, they did it. And then he looked at the Polymarket thing and the odds hadn't budged. And so he went, and even after they said five times already, but before they settled the contract, he went, he bought it. And then, you know, he was right. And so, like, there's still so many inefficiencies with these things settling that, like, you could literally watch a game live, have Polymarket open. You'd be, like, looking through the different trend. And there's, like, I've scrolled past a couple, like, really good screen, like, almost stock market screeners for different Polymarkets, which basically just means, like, where's all the volume? Where's all the open interest? Where's all the trend? Like, where's all the excitement in like which of these little betting markets? And so being able to track those, and then, you know, if you're, you know, watching sports and you know this stuff, you're watching some live event, American Idol or whatever kind of shows you like to, that you think you have an edge, you can go, you could watch it live. You could bet on Polymarket. You can make some money. So I haven't done it yet, but once it's, you know, legal or ready to rock and roll and the geo fences are down for Americans, I'm definitely going to check it out. It's a really cool meta right now, the prediction markets.
Yeah, but Brian and I did a live stream for the latest Fed meeting, and Brian bet we were doing Kalshi, or he was doing Myriad, I was doing Kalshi. He did the Jerome Powell to wear a different color tie because he always wears purple. And
I never noticed that.
So we logged on early and watched Jerome Powell live walk out with a purple tie. So he took the L there. I bet it was like 50-50 odds. I put, you know, a little, and again, this is not financial advice by any means. This is pure gambling, but it was, I did Jerome Powell to say recession just once, and it was 50-50. And my thought was, with all the new the data and the tariffs, that he would be like, hey, you know, we're monitoring the data. We don't see signs of a recession, but it's something that we're monitoring. That's kind of what I was hoping for. He did not say it. So two L's on the first ever prediction market focus live stream. But I think, again, we were just having fun there. But there is kind of what we talked about, like you said, with the news. If you're getting your news and you're staying ahead of the curve, these markets definitely don't settle as quickly as if you're somebody that's getting those first alerts from the Crypto 101 podcast on Twitter or Unusual Whales, or you're kind of that person that just has the news on in the back, you know, all day type of thing. So it's definitely something that to keep watch. And I know we talked about it as a team. We're really excited about it. So, you know, maybe there's some more content that we can do on the YouTube. So actually a great question for the audience. If you're listening to this and you're interested in that, after this is over, come back, leave a comment. You know, if you're interested in more prediction market content, let us know. And maybe it's something that we can try and come up with. But as an interesting more than halfway point, we have a ton of people in the chat, guys. We have Jack all the way from Australia. It's 3:45 in the morning for him. What's up, Jack? We've got Jill, Mikey, Ryan, Vlada. Just the chat is picked up in the back end here. So thank you guys for joining us. If you're here, give us a thumbs up. It really helps the channel grow, and we appreciate it. And then please subscribe if you're new. Guys, there was some breaking news this week, and some people are saying this is the reason why the markets were red. I can't personally quantify it to this, but there is a correlation. A good morning tweet from SBF with red markets.
Yep.
This is instant PTSD. That is the crypto market seeing this, getting horrifying flashbacks. It's like, I mean, yeah, this is like a crypto, anybody who's in crypto, this is your worst nightmare, is to see Sam Bankman-Fried come back and say, good morning. It's just like, I don't know. I just hear it in like a spooky, scary voice. It makes sense now that when we see this, the markets are responding to the downside, because this man almost single-handedly collapsed us a couple of years back and sent everything in the chaos. You know, I saw off of this, TiVo, you were the one who pointed this out to me. As soon as he tweeted this, the FTX token, the FTT token, just went through the roof on the, yeah, I mean, you have it on the screen here. This thing went through the roof at the sound of that he might return. And this was all really done at the expense of the rest of the crypto market. And listen, I'm not saying that there's a perfect correlation here. What I am saying is that the crypto markets continued down to the downside since September 23rd. And that's when he tweeted out. So,
yeah, it has been debunked. He supposedly, his friend who runs the account tweeted for him. But only in crypto, which I find funny, two letters can move the market nine figures.
Yeah. I didn't hear that it was somebody else who tweeted that. That's interesting.
Yeah, right underneath the existing tweet, he went out and said that, oh, this is a friend. This is not SBF.
What a dickhead. Sorry, but like, why'd they do that?
Right?
Definitely to make some money. I mean, my guess would be that he definitely had some.
That's got to be against some sort of regulation.
It's
right?
Gotta be. It's gotta be.
That's gotta be like illegal. Now his friend's going to jail. They'll be buddy buddy in the same cell after this.
Yeah. So what he tweeted out at 7:37, and then this one was
10:44. 2 hours. Yeah. 3 hours to make some money.
Oh,
that's 3 hours.
Look what you said. You took the words right out of my mouth with your response.
What'd you say? You'll be next in prison. That's awesome.
Oh man, the social team just on fire, on fire.
The
on
social
time.
Team doesn't miss here.
But in some good news, and this will be our last topic just to kick it around, and then maybe we could take some questions. The chat's really active. So if you have some questions, fire them in the chat. We'll do a couple on the way out. But never fear, folks, because the world's highest IQ person in the world says Bitcoin's going to 100x in the next 10 years. Brendan was really excited about this, because he's on the same wavelength as this guy, because I believe, Brendan, if I'm not wrong, you're actually the second highest IQ person, at least in my life.
Yeah, I tried to contest this in court. I was higher, but you know, for whatever reason, I lost. So I'll take second highest for now.
Yeah, side note, this guy went super viral recently. I even started following him because he came out as like a huge Christian, and he was like proving the resurrection of Jesus and going around and really talking about Christianity and stuff. And so I never knew that he actually put this out with the Bitcoin 100x. I just thought he was doing his whole Christianity arc. But this is pretty cool. Hey, if Bitcoin 100x is, yeah, I mean, that'd be crazy.
I wonder how, like, he gets that title crowned. Like, is there like an official, like, global?
There's a big debate around his self-proclaimed title as well. There was like a competition, but like, there's many, many different IQ competitions. I think he won like one of them and then just flaunted it. But yeah, that's a good question. You should ask ChatGPT and be like, how did this guy actually get determined the highest IQ? Because
I hope he's right. I hope
he is the highest IQ guy. Because that would be great if Jesus came back and Bitcoin 100x'd and this guy was just crushing it on his calls. I mean, that would be legit.
Yeah, does it, Rohit, is this guy giving you hopium at all?
I'm bullish. I don't know if I'm that bullish, but hopefully he's correct. Hopefully he's learning all this.
Hopefully he's at least directionally correct.
Yeah.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
And I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
I mean, 10x in 10 years would still be nice for Bitcoin because, you know, I think altcoins, if Bitcoin 100x is altcoins 1000x, so...
Yeah, I believe Brian Armstrong's recent prediction more so than this guy's. 2030, 10x, that's what Brian Armstrong said.
Yeah, I saw that too. About, well, I think a 60 to 70% compound annual growth rate gets us to about $1 million per Bitcoin by the end of 2030.
I think I've seen Saylor talk similar numbers. I think his was a little bit lower. I think it was around the 60% annual growth rate. But like either way... You look at this, whether it's 60 or 70 or 80, or even if it's 50%, that's still a pretty aggressive annual growth rate. And the bulk of the predictions here for Bitcoin, again, when you zoom out, it's not saying this is happening overnight, the next week, the next month. All these people are really saying, hey, zoom out here. This thing's going to be volatile. But in the big picture, it should see some pretty decent upside opportunities. And that's the big picture that's being painted. It's one of the big things that we like to talk about over here is that we have these downwards moves in the market. And we joke sometimes about it on here about why this is happening. And is it Sam Bankman-Fried or something else? Is it seasonality? But again, when in doubt, zoom out, look at the bigger picture. And I think you got to be pretty optimistic on the future of crypto after this. So,
yeah.
Tebow.
Couple questions I see about... Free Mikey Day asked about Caspa.
Yep.
Does anybody know who Mikey Day is? What TiVo, I saw you laugh.
Mikey Day is a comedian. I think it's like SNL.
Free Mikey Day. Are you guys bullish on Caspa? I'm not particularly, although from a technical chart perspective, it looks like it kind of came back down to its like long-term sort of breakout and support level. I wouldn't be surprised to see it kind of bottom out here, but yeah, I've never owned Caspa. I've never thought it was like a top tier crypto. Who else we got here with different questions? Oh, and then Ryan asked about Fire Dancer, which is a client to run Solana, and I'm very positive on it, or like I'm very, you know, optimistic. Fire Dancer's, you know, created by the team over at Jump Trading, which is a high frequency trading firm, the best in the world. And so Fire Dancer is definitely a good client to run Solana nodes, but you know, I'm not running Solana nodes, so it doesn't really affect me, but it helps the network's execution overall. Got a question on Qubic. I've never heard of Qubic. Do you guys know about Qubic? Qubic.
Isn't that the proof of work chain that kind of essentially mines tokens with the hardware instead of like with Bitcoin, you run just like you try to figure out proofs that aren't like inherently meaningful. But I think with this, I think that was a chain that was mining Monero and like 51% of the computing power. I don't think they've like abused it, but I think that it was in the news for that.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that one a little bit more. I'm looking at where all of the liquidity is for trading this thing, and they're all on these offshore kind of scammy exchanges. So I haven't fully dove too deep into Cubic. So we'll see. Not super bullish, but not super bearish. And last question I got here was BMNR. You guys,
Brendan had some news around the is it an ETF, Brendan, like a leverage ETF on BMR that's trading or coming out possibly?
Yeah, it just got announced that there's going to be a 2x leveraged version of Bitmine called BMNU coming out. So if you want to get levered on your Tom Lee Ethereum strategy, soon enough, there's going to be leverage for everything.
Yeah, just what the people need. That's what we've been saying. Like, as excited as we are for all those 100 crypto ETFs to come live, like we're trying to educate everybody. Like, if you're gonna go buy the there's some of them called like what, Altcoin Season 2x Altcoin ETF. You got to be careful and know what you're buying with this stuff.
There's gonna be an Alt Season ETF, and then there's gonna be the Alt Season ETF. And these are going to be 2x leveraged versions. So there's going to be one that's a 2x leveraged version of the entire crypto market, of general crypto market exposure. There's going to be an altcoin season ETF that's 2x leveraged, mainly large cap altcoins. And then you're going to have the alt season ETF, which is going to be 2x leveraged small and mid caps, which sounds really scary. And obviously, we like the idea of more attention being drawn towards crypto. We always just want to caution everyone. And again, like, we like Bitmine, we like Tom Lee, we like altcoins of all sizes. But just be careful with leverage. These new products get out, especially with these leveraged ETFs. They have volatility decay on top of it, which is a thing that most people don't understand when they are getting into them. So again, just make sure you're informed on them. Make sure you approach them with some common sense, and just be careful.
So just to wrap up the show, associate producer Cayman was asking us for our hottest takes for the end of the year. So it's kind of a good little teaser. We're going to bring everybody back at the end of the year. We had our awesome end of year episode last year that everybody loved. If you don't feel pressured, if you don't want to do it, I do have a hot take. I think that this administration loves the internet, loves the crypto people. I think that there's some type of Christmas gift this year from the administration. I'm going to go out on a limb. Hey, this is a hot take. This is what the segment is. Hot take. By the end of the year, we're going to have some type of announcement for adding in and buying more for the Bitcoin reserve. Might not actually happen, but like some type of plan. These gold cards are going out. Howard Lutnick's putting out the lemonade stand trying to sell these gold cards. And again, a budget neutral way to get some money raised to go buy some more Bitcoins. So my hot take is we might see a little roadmap for 26 to add to the Bitcoin reserve.
My hot take is Ethereum's going to be above $6,000 by the end of the year. And it's really not that hard to get there. It's a 50% move from where we're at right now. So Ethereum 6K. And just for reference, from July 6th to July 24th, Ethereum went up 50%. So in about 2 weeks, it went up 50%. Then it corrected 10%. And then again, from August 1st to August 23rd, in 3 weeks, it went up another 50% after currently in a correction. So again, 6K sounds like a high price target for Ethereum, but I think it's totally within the realm of possibility based on the magnitude of the waves that Ethereum's been in this year. So ETH 6K, the odds are low, but you wanted a hot take, so that's what I got for you.
I love it. Just to build on that Ethereum hot take, earlier in the week, we had Mark Newton, clip from Mark Newton, and he's a technical analysis guy for Fundstrat, for Tom, and he's been nailing the price predictions, like to the penny. And so I played a clip of his and gave him his props, and he's like, oh, don't worry, ETH's not going to break 4K. So yesterday, we play the clip on Monday, and then ETH goes and breaks 4K. So listen, as the producer of the show, I want to hold, you know, out of love and respect, I want to hold people accountable. I go, Mark, I just hyped you up on my show, and now everybody's tweeting at me. We're under 4K. I preface this. Love your work, Mark, but we need an update after violating 4K. Please advise.
Oh my God, Mark, he responded.
Newton, shout out to the guy. Not hiding, obviously, as he does, promoting Fundstrat, promoting no freebies.
And again, he puts out a lot of awesome content, as does Tom. You see him on TV. Just like you see us on YouTube, putting out tons of free content.
Devo, you just excommunicated one of the best technicians from crypto Twitter. This is a horrible.
No, it was all love.
Thanks for your interest. I won't be posting crypto technicals for free here. Sorry. Thanks, no. Devo.
No, listen. Love your work. He's not going to give it to me. You don't think he's going to keep going on Fox News and doing his bits? Oh, I'm sure he will. We love Mark.
But Ethereum's back above 4K, so it's just a quick wick below.
Wait. So that's the point. Credit to us. Credit to the Crypto 101 pod holding people accountable. It was a joint effort of Mark and Crypto 101 lifting Ethereum back up today. If you don't see the signs, I can't help you. Listen,
I do.
I'm just lifting everybody up. We're doing it together. Mark, we love you, and we want you on the pod. I kept going back and forth. No freebies, Mark. We're with you, and we want to have you on the pod. It's all love.
He responded to that clip as well. Jesus.
No, it is all love. Mark Newton, I love you, and I am a Fundstrat member myself as an individual. I love watching his technical analysis. I love watching Brendan's. Wow. I love our team. To Mark's point, the best stuff is in the community. So if you're having fun here right now and interested in more, again, last call in the description. We put a $1 trial. So if you want more of this awesome group, you can't get enough of us just on the YouTube. Check it out, because there's a lot of awesome stuff in the yeah, Brennan.
And I had a quick note on that. I saw people in the chat box of YouTube saying, hey guys, do you have a Discord or something like that? I want to clarify, we do not have a Discord. We're never going to push you to Discord. But we do have our Crypt Nation community. And like Tivo said, we have a link to that below. So to clarify, there's no Discord community, but we do have one. It's just not on Discord. And you can get that $1 promo below.
Yeah. I think that's any other hot takes, no pressure. But if anybody else wants to do one before we wrap up.
Yeah, I'll do a last one. Coin kicked off the meme coin ETF craze. Potentially is the first one ever to have an ETF. So before 2025, we may see a few more. Hopefully, Pengu, our favorite here, but that's my hot take. There'll be more coming out.
I like it.
Love it, guys. Thanks for the awesome call. This was a ton of fun. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, it was super fun. Thank you guys for joining us. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in on a Friday afternoon. Hundreds of people, tons of comments. Before you leave, give us a like, subscribe. We're going to be here next week giving out a bunch more content, interviews, the whole nine yards. Everybody, enjoy your weekend. And we're going to catch you all next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.